I changed the title of this show before publication. If you're seeing this title, "The Saints Live Next to the Suckers," then I haven't changed it, and it must be the best thing I could think of at the time. This is what I mean by this. We're the Saints, and Saint has no moral bias to it. It just means separated. So you and I, we're separated unto God by through no worthiness of our own. Saint is a noun. The adjective form of saint is holy. It's the same root word, hagion. So the land of Israel is called Holy Land. This should humble you because, in a sense, you are being compared to a tract of real estate. Yes, you are holy, just like that land was. You're a tract of real estate. What good or bad can a tract of real estate do? What did that tract of real estate named the Holy Land, what did it do to be named holy, to be considered holy by God? It didn't do anything. God just separated it for his use. Just like Jacob and Esau, before they could do anything good or bad, that the purposes of God might stand, Romans chapter 14, God says, "Jacob I love, Esau I hate." I talk about this in my ZWTF series on the sovereignty of God. You can read about this at my website. So, I'm being distracted by a noise. Is somebody reaping the grass outside? It sounds like the grass is being reaped. All right, so we're the saints, and yet there's no moral goodness attached to us. We're just separated by God, chosen by him from before the disruption of the world to be holy and flawless in his sight. That's Ephesians chapter 1. To be holy and flawless in his sight. So we live next to suckers. Here are the suckers. So it sounds like I'm saying that suckers are real losers. They can't do anything right. They're just stupid people. They're gullible. They're not sharp. And they just can't find their way in this world. Okay, well, that does lead you to think that just a saint leads you to think that there's some great moral person with Boy Scout medals or brownie pins that causes God to like them. So neither thing is true. The saints are not morally great people, and the suckers are not morally evil people necessarily. They could be, and some of them are, but they're just not chosen. There are some very nice people who are not chosen by God, and there are some real assholes who are. So I'm making no moral judgment here. Now, having said that, we're in the section of the unveiling now, talking about reaping. That the day's finally coming when God is going to separate the believers from the unbelievers. And he is going to make a final, I say, judgment. He's going to make a decision based on his wisdom when it's time to reap. Yesterday, I ended the show talking about our reaping, a standing, snatching away. Lovely thought, absolutely lovely thought. But until then, we're living next to suckers. Those poor suckers, they weren't chosen. Yeah, like it's their fault. It's not their fault at all. So this harkens back to the parable Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to go there. But before I do, I want to look at this word dried, and because this struck me in the unveiling 14 and verse 15. "And another messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who is sitting on the cloud, 'Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the hour came to reap. For the harvest of the earth is dried.'" Yesterday, I intimated to you that dried meant it was ready, that it was fully set to go. But I thought of another verse. "Dried up is our expectation." That's from the circumcision writings. Where is that? "Dried up is our expectation." Dried. So you could get the thought from dried, maybe this is the correct thought, that there's no hope. There's no more expectation. And I don't mean to say no hope or expectation in God. I mean to say no more hope or expectation in this world. And our expectation in this world is dried up. And Paul says that we who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. And that really made me think, this word dried up, dried, made me think of that word that Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians. We who are surviving to the coming of the Lord. And I tell you this, and I've told you before, if you're just surviving, some of you write me and say, Martin, I'm just barely surviving. You're barely what? Surviving what? Say it again. Surviving. Good enough. Da-ding, cha-ching, ba-bing. You are going to be snatched away. We who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. So in, we feel very dried up, and we feel like we're barely hanging on, but it's good enough. Now, the reaper comes, the heart, but it's not the grim reaper. Comes to reap, but it's not the grim reaper. It's the happy reaper. Jesus Christ is the reaper on the white cloud. Oh, why didn't I name yesterday's show the reaper on the white cloud? Because when Jesus Christ comes for you, saints, I have friends who have died in this life. If that happens to any of you, or if it happens to me, know this, that Jesus Christ holds the keys of death and Hades. So no one can cut my life short or yours. And even if that life is taken by ignoble means, by terrible means, by some despicable crime, know this, that behind that despicable crime is the one who is sitting on a white cloud, is the one who holds the keys of death and Hades, and who never cuts any life short, because every single person lives to their ripe fulfillment. And most of the time, by the end of their life, they're dried. And in the case of you elderly people, you're literally dried. Your skin is all dried, and you look like prunes, happy prunes, lovely prunes, sweet, juicy prunes and raisins. I thank God for you, sweet, juicy prunes and raisins out there. I might also recommend that you drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. I recommend 16. I drink 1 gallon of water a day. Is it hard to do? Yes, it's a pain, but I do it anyway because I don't want to dry up before my time. If it's my time to be dried, fine. But if it's not, then I don't want it. And he who is sitting on the cloud cast his sickle on the earth, and the earth is reaped. This is what this reminds me of. Matthew 13, starting with verse 24. Another parable he, Jesus, places before them, saying, likened was the kingdom of the heavens to a man sowing ideal seed in his own field. Yet while the humans are drowsing, his enemy came and sows darnel. Darnel, that's a high-tech weed. I would have said weed in my version, the Martin Zender translation, the MZT. And maybe that translation will yet appear. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Sows darnel over amidst the grain and came away. Now when the blade germinates and produces fruit, then appeared also the darnel. So the weeds grow up with the wheat, i.e., the saints live next to the suckers. So what happens? Now approaching, the slaves of the householder said to him, Lord, do you not sow ideal seed in your field? That's us. We're the ideal seed, and we're sown in the field, and the field is the world. I know this is a circumcision parable. Allow me this liberty. Thank you very much. It's okay to break the rules as long as you know the rules. And I know the rules, and I know I'm breaking the rules by applying this to us. I'm not literally applying it to us. I'm saying that there are things about this parable and about this passage in the Unveiling 14 that do apply to our experience. Now approaching, the slaves of the householder said to him, Lord, do you not sow ideal seed in your field? Whence then has it darnel? He said to them, an enemy, a human, that's it, that's what he says, a human, an enemy has done this. Now that is interesting to me as well, because we know that the enemy, this is the thing, when he explains this parable, he says that the enemy is Satan, right? Right? Does he explain that to them? So, yeah, the enemy who sows them is the adversary. Yeah, here it is. He's explaining this to him. He who is sowing the field is the son of mankind, and we have one like a son of mankind coming down at the beginning of this section of Revelation 14. Now, the field is the world, the ideal seed. These are the sons of the kingdom. In the circumcision evangel, it's Israel. In our evangel, that's us. Now the darnel are the sons of the wicked one. Now the enemy who sows them is the adversary. So, but here it says a human has done it. So in the picture, it's a human, but behind it, it's the adversary. So we have two things going on here. We have human intermediaries, like in Paul. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but behind that flesh and blood that is coming after you is Satan. Satan's the one doing it. And of course, behind Satan, there's God. That's the ultimate comfort. God's the one sending Satan, who's sending your sucker neighbor to vex the crap out of you. So when someone dies in this world, when the sickle comes, when the harvest comes, when the reaper comes, it's not a grim reaper. Yeah, the Grim Reaper might be used, so, but you have to look past the Grim Reaper, and now I'm suddenly rejoicing in this passage that I thought was going to vex me to death. That, lo, a white cloud, and it's the Son of Mankind sitting on the white cloud. He has a golden wreath on his head. Golden speaks of worth, speaks of accomplishment, because it's a wreath, and he's coming to the earth to harvest with something that is difficult, a sickle. And he does the sickle. But this happens only when it's time for it. But in the meantime, it's hard to tell the difference between good people and bad people. And that was the problem. Because the, go back to the parable, I'm in verse 28 of Matthew 13. He said to them, a human, an enemy, does this. Now the slaves are saying, do you then want us to come away that we should be calling them? That is, should we be harvesting the darnel? Take out the weeds, pull the weeds. Yet he is saying, by no means, lest at some time while calling the darnel, you should be rooting up the grain at the same time with it. Let both grow up together until the harvest. Let the saints live next door to the suckers until the harvest. In the meantime, you have a saint and a sucker living next to each other. You have Christ and Judas. You have righteous and unrighteousness. You have light and darkness cohabiting in some cases. Cohabiting in some cases. And boy, and this is going to continue, excuse me, until the time of the harvest. And our harvest, we know, is going to be the snatching away. Israel's harvest is being described here. But I believe that this description and the unveiling is the fruition of, is Matthew 13 come to fruition. Leave both to grow up together until the harvest. Grow up together. So growth is usually assumed to be a good thing. They're both growing. Okay, why am I growing and why is my enemy growing? My enemy is growing. The sucker is growing. But let this continue. They're both growing because God sends the rain upon the just and the unjust alike. What does the rain do? It causes the weed to grow up just like the wheat. And the weed and the wheat look similar. That was the problem here, is they both look the same. Otherwise, the messengers would have no problem calling the darnel. But no, you can't do it because lest you might take some of the wheat. How could you possibly do that? Because it looks the same. And they're both growing quite well because God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. But my comfort to you today is that this, it will not always be this way. In fact, sometimes it's even worse than the way it is now, in that wicked people get more benefits. They grow bigger and better and stronger and faster than we do. The suckers thrive and the saints dive. Suckers thrive, saints dive. That's the way it is now. So don't be shocked as if some strange thing were occurring to you, because it's not strange. We're seeing it in Matthew 13. We're seeing it in the unveiling. And we're seeing it really in 1 Thessalonians. Because where are we being taken out of? Some glorious place? Some golden holding tank? No, we are being taken out of the earth. We're being taken out of this breeding ground of sin and decay that will produce the wild beast and will produce the indignation of God. And the judgment of Armageddon and the judgment of the nations, all these things are fomenting now, and we're in this stinkhole. But it's not always going to be that way, folks, because the day is coming, and maybe even 5 minutes from now, when we are going to be delivered from this, and we will be ever with the Lord. I want you to console one another right now with these words.